Si può dire che quindi il dolore.
We may say that pain is a difficult subjective experience, and it is more difficult to assess pain in children than in adult patients, because children cannot verbally express themselves very often, and they haven't got the appropriate cognitive skills to do so. But the pain assessment is fundamental in order to understand whether the patient is suffering and in order to understand whether our treatment is effective. As you can see on this slide, these comments are not enough because there are still many commonplaces concerning children in pain. We tend to say that neonates and young children do not feel pain because their nervous system is not mature enough. It is also thought that children suffer less than adults. We also tend to believe that children are not able to tell us where they feel pain, that they tend to forget pain, and that the use of opiates generates the risk of addiction. But this is not true, because starting from the 6th, 7th month of the fetal life, the nervous system is mature enough to convey the stimulus of pain. Neonates perceive pain more intensely than adults, and the rapid development of the excitatory system and the delayed maturation of inhibitory pathways exaggerate the transmission of painful stimuli. Very often children are not able to verbalize their pain, but at the age of 6 months, the small child is able to identify the place where he or she feels pain, and then children do memorize pain, do remember pain, and an intense and prolonged pain may harm the child's psychological integrity. But these findings are not enough to change the situation in Italian hospitals, and 40% of children do not receive any treatment to manage pain, in spite of the fact that there are drugs which could relieve pain in 80% of cases. Pain management represents a human right, irrespective of the age of the patient. And if pain is not identified, many problems have to be dealt with. Reduction in mobilization, psychological traumas, an increase of infections, a delayed healing, and a longer hospital stay. We may therefore say that pain in the neonate and in the small child is not a simple symptom, but a whole syndrome, a syndrome which must be treated not only for ethical reasons, but because pain and stress may cause hormonal injury, metabolic and cardiovascular problems. Therefore, pain may have an impact on outcome, on morbidity, mortality, and costs. In the literature, there are many cases of pediatric patients in pain who have not been treated. In the past few years, therefore, this problem has become the focus of a wide debate. In 1993, the book titled Children First, A Study of Hospital Services, focused on pain management as an indicator of healthcare quality in hospitals. Therefore, nurses have to be extremely sensitive to this problem. They've got to have the necessary skills in order to understand the pain in children. But there's something that should be reiterated. It is possible to use a number of systems allowing us to reduce the distress and pain. First of all, we may have an impact on work organization. That is, we may reduce those elements which may be disturbing to small patients. We may, for instance, limit those procedures which generate discomfort to the small patient and which should not be repeated several times a day. A pediatric hospital in Paris carried out a study. And this study showed that if a glucose solution was administered to the child before performing painful procedures, the child suffered less. So this is a major element. It is also important to use a CVC, not to disturb the wakefulness, sleep, rhythm, and then it is also important to focus on the emotional and affective elements. The relationship between the child and the mother is very important, and I'm also referring to the physical relationship, which should not be hindered whenever this is possible. So, assessment of pain in children is complex, but it is fundamental. It should be based on a holistic approach. The nurse, therefore, is the one who should be able to seize and interpret the signals sent by the child. Pediatric nurses have to manage children's pain, but also parents' distress. It is also important to say, however, that if parents are adequately informed, their anxiety is reduced. It is important to inform parents as to the behavior they should adopt with their child, because it is important that they do not convey their anxiety and fear to their child. In a hospital, the only reference, the only stable reference point for any child is represented by his or her parents. Body language is fundamental for children. If the child is touched or if he's spoken to, the child is immediately reactive. So it is important for parents to adopt anxiety-free behavior. They've got to be natural with their child, as natural as possible. The fear of the unknown, of course, increases anxiety. These factors increase stress and tension levels, and these situations lower physiological thresholds. Therefore, pain perception is enhanced. In very small children, pain is expressed through crying. If we visit a pediatric ICU, we see that intubated children silently cry, but they do cry. In such cases, it is important to accurately and carefully observe pediatric patients. In these cases, therefore, when working with neonates, for instance, the nurse is a fundamental presence, because the nurse may improve the patient's conditions and may relieve the child's pain. Apart from neonates, children are generally able to verbalize their pain. But when children have a chronic problem, such as an oncological disease, their pain becomes permanent. a permanent distress. Therefore, in such cases, the child's behavior is different because their pain is chronic and not acute. Generally speaking, these children do not tend to cry a lot. They don't have specific bodily defense postures, but these children tend not to play very often. They tend to lose their appetite. They do not interact with the surrounding environment. Their wakefulness, sleep, rhythm is disturbed. Measuring the intensity of pain in these children is very difficult. That's why specific scales have been designed. Yesterday we discussed those scales for adult patients, and these scales have been adjusted to pediatric patients. But when choosing a scale, some factors have to be taken into consideration. Age, first of all, because in a child's development there are different stages. Then it is also important to take possible interventions into consideration, then specific needs, clinical conditions, and the type of pain. It is fundamental to stress that documentation is crucial. What is observed has to be accurately documented, because this is the only way to provide evidence of pain. We discussed this issue yesterday. We said that very often health care professionals tend not to take pain into consideration, but whenever you write that pain is there, this is an evidence which is undebatable. This is the first step before administering analgesics. Pain scales, generally speaking, include the following elements: behavior assessment, clinical signs, and then self-assessment techniques. As to behavioral assessment, its objective is to assess the child's response to pain. So these scales are based on crying, on posture, and on facial expressions. This kind of pain assessment provides some advantages. It is not invasive, it doesn't require any effort from the child, and it is not based on the child's cognitive and linguistic abilities, so it may be used for very small children. As to the clinical signs, these varies a lot in preterm children. These are heart rate, respiratory rate, arterial pressure, blood pressure, and oxygen saturation. As to self-assessment methods, it is important to spend few words on them, because as we said yesterday, pain is a subjective experience. But self-assessment methods are the safest one, and the most reliable. They may be used, of course, when the child is able to describe his or her pain. For pediatric patients, there are many scales available. The most popular one is, of course, the East Ontario Pediatric Scale, KEOPS, or the Objective Pain Scale of Angela Broadman, OPS, and then VAS scales, or the Sheffield Children's Hospital scale, and the COLLAR scale. So effective pain management should be based on a proper pain assessment. This is the end of my introduction. And this introduction was meant to be a sort of connection, a bridge between yesterday's session and today's session. Now I'm going to illustrate a specific clinical case. Thank you.